If you visited the University of New Mexico's Maxwell Museum, you might have noticed in its side courtyard a 40-foot-tall totem pole. That pole has been standing outside on the Albuquerque campus for over 70 years. Recently, however, it was brought inside, not just for a much-needed restoration, but also to answer some pressing questions about its provenance. I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM, and with me is Dr. Beverly Singer, retired UNM professor of anthropology. Dr. Singer, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Where and when was this totem pole created?
This pole, which is now officially named the Smith Family Totem Pole, was made on Turner Island, which is in the Pacific off the British Columbian coast. The people there, the Tawitsis people, are one of the 13 Kwikwaukwiak nations who live in coastal British Columbia. And this family's pole was carved by a very well-known carver at the turn of the century, Charlie James, also known as Yaklulis. He was asked to carve this pole as a family reunion and gathering.
And this was in 1907?
Yes.
We have a much better idea at this point, through the research that the university has done, of how and why it ended up at UNM in Albuquerque in 1941.
The period in which the totem pole was removed from its origins was when young anthropologists headed out to many indigenous communities internationally, and particularly here in the Americas, to collect what they called salvage objects, you know, things that they identified as having value for newly funded research, but also to begin to develop collections for museums. And so Frank Hibben was a young anthropologist here at the University of New Mexico, and he found himself in British Columbia during a time when there was change happening with many of these villages. On one of his trips, he visited one of these villages, Kalawigis, and he took the pole. He hired some people, I'm sure, quickly to cut it. A 40-foot pole, if you can imagine how large that is, how tall that is.
And how difficult to transport.
But you're in the water, so you can pull it with a tugboat or whatever, and he took it up to Alaska. And that's where he claimed to have gotten the pole. And all these years at UNM, when I inquired about where this pole came from, I was told that, oh, it's Tlingit. And I'd look at that pole and I'd say, it's not Tlingit. It's
Tlingit being an Alaskan.
An Alaska Native people mm-hmm. who also have totem crest tradition. And I told myself, that's a Northwest Coast pole. So in 2012, I was teaching a course called Visual Studies in Anthropology, and I had some graduate students in the course with undergraduates. And I put notice out to students, anyone interested in special projects, please contact me. And there was one student, India Rael, who is completing her PhD here in art history. She approached me and said, I'm really interested in that totem pole. I said, I've been interested in it for a long time. So together we composed a proposal to the Maxwell Museum, and I had already spoken with the new curator of exhibits, Deborah Ramanek, about the pole and her thoughts on it. And she said, let me do some research. And it had been found out that we had had a visitor from the Tawitsis people. Chief John Smith had actually come to the Maxwell a year prior to inquire about the pole. And so the research began in earnest to find out the history of the pole. And I have to acknowledge the spiritual energy of all of the ancestors here in New Mexico, who probably helped along with the Kwikwaukwiak nations who had missed their pole. You know, the Tawitsis had not had this, and they were, you know, wondering what was happening to their legacy. And so Maxwell Museum curator of ethnology, Leah McChesney, moved forward with contacting the Tawitsis nation and made contact with the chief, Daniel Smith. And we had an incredible gathering at the Society of Applied Anthropology meetings. We had a special meeting with Chief Daniel Smith and Chief John Smith and representatives with them, along with the Maxwell Museum curator of exhibits, Deborah Ramanek, myself, Miss Rael India was there, and Dr. McChesney, and had a discussion about what the Maxwell could do with the pole. And their request was to have the pole restored, to appropriately rename the pole in the family's name, and also to acknowledge the wrong that was done in removing the pole, basically illegally.
So those were the requests from the Smith family themselves.
They did not want the pole returned, not as a repatriation object, but they also requested that the university assist in having a replica pole be carved in their territory.
So in other words, UNM is now a repository
Yes.
for this pole at the discretion of the Smith family.
Yes.
And respectful restoration was also part of that whole reparation discussion.
Yes. You know, the Smith family and the Tawidzis Nation are the true owners of the pole, and so the Maxwell Museum claims only to serve as a repository. The descendants asked the Maxwell to acknowledge the pole's origin and its continuing relationship with the community, which I think is so great because this is what museums today are needing to do more and more who have indigenous objects in their collections. But I want to also acknowledge the work that was done by the Maxwell Museum and the interim director who supported all of this, Dave Phillips, agreed to the terms of this negotiation. And so it was that two carvers were selected by the Tawidzis to come to Albuquerque and work on a restoration of that pole. Tom Hunt Jr. and his apprentice, Bertram Smith, who worked on that pole for a whole month. And they spent easily between 12 and 14 hours a day. They really honored the work of the carver, Charlie James, in doing this work and completely gave themselves to the project. And they had things happening at home that were heavy on their hearts, but they stayed and finished.
And they did an absolutely beautiful job with it, using the same kind of paints
Yes.
that might have been used back in 1907 when it was originally carved.
Yes, and they also brought wood with them, some of the cedar wood, in order to correctly put the fins on the whale. I mean, this project is internationally important, you know, on many levels in terms of the recognition of the spoils of colonialism, in addition to the fact that historically, you know, Native peoples finally are coming into their own and recognizing that they are the rightful owners of these objects, you know, masks and decorum and their entire protocol for how they handled their livelihoods is tied to the objects they created. And so you can't separate those, but that's what museums did. They separated the people from the objects.
And it's heartbreaking to discover that the Smith family actually filed a police report back in 1941 saying that their totem pole had been stolen.
Yes. So you can pick up from that that the University of New Mexico then had the responsibility in the legal office here to take a look at every record of that was kept by the museum and in the university's management of how they acquired and deal with these objects. Actually, the state of New Mexico also was responsible. So I believe this could have been much more serious, you know, in terms of a legal precedent that was established here, had the Smith family petitioned to have the pole taken back. But by their calm and their traditional value system, they felt that the pole should stay here and that the university then is responsible for its care for as long as the university is here.
And as long as the Smith family agrees.
And as long as the Smith family agrees.
Dr. Singer, why, after all these years, go through this process? Why is it important?
For everyone in the audience, when the pole was rededicated, when members of the Tawidzis Nation came, Chief Daniel Smith, Chief John Smith, their families, in mid-September to rededicate the pole inside the Hibben Center, the president of the university, interim president, Chowki Abdullah, acknowledged the fact that the university took responsibility for the manner in which the pole was taken from the people. And that story is told in the descriptions in the Hibben Center that have identified the history of the pole, who it formerly belonged to, where it came from, and how it got here. In light of that, you know, I believe that this is a kind of, I want to say, a social justice and Indigenous justice has been acknowledged in this story.
And the public is invited to come and look at the Smith family totem pole in the atrium at the Hibben Center.
Yes, it is. It is welcome to come in and view it. It is as an exhibit, and the museum has done a really great job of its formal presentation to the public.
Dr. Beverly Singer has helped to reclaim and reevaluate a century-old totem pole that has been in the possession of the University of New Mexico for over 70 years. Beautifully restored, it now stands in the Hibben Center atrium on the Albuquerque campus. Go to KUNM.org for more information. Dr. Singer, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Kundawaha.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.